Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, picking up where we were last week. Let's read verse 8. "And he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken." Heavenly Father, we look to you. We look to you. And we turn away from human wisdom. We turn away from psychology. We turn away from what this world says, what Hollywood says, what the news media says. Lord, we turn away and we look to you. Lord, we need help in our time. And often we don't know what to do. But the Bible says that we ought to put our trust in Jesus Christ. It says we ought to lean not to our own understanding. And Lord, we want to do that. We want to trust in you. We know that you have the answer. And we know by the side of the Sea of Galilee, in the time of Christ, if we had a problem, we could go to him and say, "I got a problem with my foot," or "back home, mom is sick in bed," or whatever the case. And we could say, "Lord, please help. Please heal." And we know what he would do, because we've got the gospels that say again and again and again what he did. He would heal. He would offer the wisdom from scripture that's necessary. He would take care of our problems. And Lord, I understand the times that we live in. I understand it's 2,000 years removed from scripture. But the Bible was true then, and the Bible is true now, and it will be true tomorrow after we're all done. Lord, we look to you. Please help us, me, my family, and everyone listening. Everyone listening, whatever troubles they have, please help them. Please put faith in their heart and hope in their heart, that as they call out to you, that you would show yourself to be the answer. And Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? We covered that part of the verse last time. But it says again in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8, that he was cut off out of the land of the living. That means he died. And we understand that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. But it says, for the transgression of my people, he was stricken. In verse 4 we read, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." And verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." From beginning to end, from Genesis chapter 1 and certainly chapter 3, all the way to Revelation chapter 22, and everywhere in between, the Bible proclaims Jesus Christ. It magnifies Jesus Christ. It tells of his coming. It tells what he would do when he got here, and we can read in the Gospels. And it tells what will happen when he returns and sets up his kingdom that will never pass away. But mostly it tells of what he did on the cross of Calvary for sinful mankind. But we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen again, Paul said. We preach Christ just as the Bible tells us to do. Sometimes it's okay to refer to politics. Sometimes it's okay to refer to some event, some current event that's happening. That's okay. But the message should always be Christ, what he did and what he's going to do very shortly when he returns. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. And again in a later epistle he appends it and says, and is risen again. Christ crucified and risen again for our justification. But our text today says that for the transgression of my people, he was stricken. John chapter 11, verse 47 through 53 says this, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council. They held a meeting and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. Well, hallelujah. If they'd have left him alone, everybody would have been a follower of Jesus Christ. All men will believe on him. But the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers and what have you, they didn't want that. They didn't want people to believe on Jesus. They were worried about their position, their power. They were in charge, and Jesus was a threat to their place. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place, our jobs, our political appointments, our kickbacks, what have you. They'll take away our stuff and also the nation. They'll take away our stuff and we have to protect that, but oh yeah, the nation of Israel will suffer. Again, if you're a politician, you need to have your priorities. We have to do something about this Jesus because we're going to lose out. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said unto them, you know nothing at all. Hey, you guys don't know nothing. Now consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. It's better that one guy suffers and dies, and all the people, the nation would have you survive. It's better that one man die than everybody else perish. But it says in verse 51 that he was the high priest that year, and in his office he prophesied. He didn't understand what he was saying, but he prophesied that Jesus should die for the whole nation, and not only the nation of Israel only, but also that he should gather together in one the children of God that are scattered abroad. And if you remember, just a few weeks ago, when we took our stroll through Zechariah, in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 8, it says that God will hiss for them and gather them because he has redeemed them. Again, both Zechariah and Caiaphas are prophesying of Jesus Christ, what he would do then and what he would do in the future. And we talked, when we looked at Zechariah, of how in the end, all of the Jews around the world would be gathered in Jerusalem and Israel. But Caiaphas said that it's better that Jesus die and we get to keep our cushy jobs, and that the nation of Israel would be spared. Because if Jesus continues, the Romans are going to get tired of it and come and clamp down. So let's sacrifice Jesus that Israel would be spared. But it says in verse 53, then from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. But in verse 9 of Isaiah, it says of Jesus, again, prophesying, telling the future, hundreds and hundreds of years in the future, that Jesus made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. He made his grave with the wicked, and you remember he was crucified between two thieves, one on the right hand and one on the left. For instance, in Mark chapter 15, verse 27, it says that. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. John 19, verse 38, it talks about Joseph of Arimathea, the rich man, that when they took Jesus off the cross that afternoon, they had to put him somewhere, and Joseph of Arimathea, again a rich man, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. They put Jesus in the tomb that Arimathea had made for himself, a borrowed tomb. So you can see that this chapter prophesies again and again and again of what Jesus would endure on the day that he was crucified. But let's look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. But it says, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. When you make Jesus an offering for your sin. When you say, Lord, I believe that Jesus died for me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. When you make his soul an offering for your sin. And then it tells of the blessings of Christ would be put on your account. Again, justification by faith, and identification and substitution, the two doctrines we talked about last time. When you make his soul an offering for your sin, in verse 11, it says that he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. The righteous demands of a holy God were satisfied when God's Son died on the cross. Again, we're sinners. Everyone is gone astray, Paul said. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We're sinners. We deserve to die. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Again, Jesus died in our place. And if we trust in God's plan, we can be justified. We can be declared righteous. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Again, he died in our place. He suffered for our wrongdoing. He paid the penalty for our sin. We get to go free. We get the blessings of God. We are justified through our faith in Jesus Christ. And the last verse in the chapter, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Again, he was numbered with the transgressors. We talked last time of the doctrine of identification. He was numbered with us. And he bare the sin of many. We talked last time of the doctrine of substitution. He died in our place. And he made intercession for the transgressors. Romans 8:34 talks about that. But let's take a look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And when I read this chapter, I think of Isaiah chapter 6. John had an audience with God, just as Isaiah had an audience with God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And we looked at that a month or so ago. But Revelation chapter 5, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. You may have heard the seven seals mentioned. I know that on this station and in times past, I know that people have taught on the seals and the bowls and the vials in Revelation. Well, these are the seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Again, there's this book. It's important. Matter of fact, most of the narrative in Revelation has to do with the seals that are keeping this book closed. And an angel said, hey, he shouted with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. They had this big search for somebody that was worthy to read the book, to open the book, to read the book, to see what it had inside. It was a big deal, because in verse 4, John said, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book, neither to look thereon. I don't know how long it lasted, but it says he was bawling and squalling. He was crying, weeping, it says. weeping because nobody was worthy to open this book. 5 minutes, 2 hours, I don't know how long. They had this big search. They couldn't find anybody, and the Apostle John in his vision was weeping, kneeling on the floor, whatever, weeping. I wept much, it says, because nobody was found worthy to open the book and to loose the seals. It was a big deal. But in verse 5, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. The Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David, and we covered that. We covered that here in Isaiah 53, verse 2, the root out of dry ground. Jesus was found worthy to open this book. And you say, it's just a book, what's the big deal? Well, in heaven, in the audience and throne room of God, it was a big deal. So we have to believe it was a big deal. And nobody was found worthy. It's not that nobody was found able or capable. Anybody could have walked up and cracked those seals and opened the book. It's not a question of ability. It's a question of being worthy. Who is worthy to read the book and to loose the seals thereof? Had this big search, and the prophet who's telling the story was weeping, but one of the elders said, don't worry, weep not, because Jesus Christ, it doesn't say he was worthy, but it said that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. He hath prevailed. He's worthy because he prevailed. He's worthy to open the book because of what he did when he was on the earth, when he died for the sins of mankind. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. There's a lot of symbolism here, I understand it. But Jesus was found worthy to open the book because he went to Calvary. Because he died on the cross for the sins of the world. Right there in the middle, the one that was worthy was a lamb as it had been slain. Again, if you have a lamb and you're making an offering, a sacrifice to God, in the end you've got a dead lamb. But it says this dead lamb was standing there. How does a dead lamb stand? Was because Jesus rose from the dead. Later on in Revelation chapter 15, it says that they were singing the song of Moses, which is the Old Testament, and of the Lamb. They sang the song of Moses and of the Lamb because Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and he hath prevailed to open the book. But it says that there were 24 elders, and they had harps, and they had golden vials of odors, in other words, perfume. They had this, they had that, and many angels, and all these beasts and elders, and 10,000 times 10,000 people, and thousands, however many billions that adds up to, I don't know, they were all at the throne, when it was proclaimed that Jesus Christ was worthy to open the book and to loose the seals. In verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And again, they took that and then they said it again in verse 13. And they all fell down and worshiped God because Jesus Christ went to the cross for our sin in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53, which is what we've been studying. Again, the entire Bible, the message of the entire Bible is what Jesus did on the cross for our sins. And oh yes, don't forget, one day soon, He's coming back again. And He'll set up His kingdom that'll never pass away. And He'll put down all unrighteousness, all the troubles that we have. There'll be no sickness, there'll be no disease, and there'll be no death when Jesus comes back again to stay. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net and click the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 3111 46th Street, Metairie, Louisiana 7001. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.